Hello and welcome to another episode of I've Never Seen the OC. We are on season 3, episode 18, The Undertow.
Hello.
What snacks you got over there?
These guys.
Pop chips. What are these? Oh, pop chips. I love pop chips. The barbecue ones are pretty damn delicious. Very jealous. Very jealous.
Yeah, it's definitely a snack night after being out in that horrible rain.
I know. It's bank holiday Monday here in Glasgow. And normally the May Day bank holiday is like beautiful, sunny. Yep. It's normally a cracking weekend. It's the sort of weekend where you get sunburnt but don't realise it. And then you go into work the next day and you're like, oh, what am I like?
Yeah.
That's what it's normally like. And today it has royally shit it down.
Yeah.
All day. All day. We're both sitting with slightly damp hair.
Damp hair. First weekend when all the beer gardens are open and it's miserable and freezing. I spent the day...
I think it's called irony, right?
Yeah. I spent the day on the couch watching TV and reading under an electric blanket in May.
That sounds delightful.
It was great.
I forced my brother and Ali to go on a hill walk, which... Not even 15 minutes in, they were both like, this is the worst idea you ever had.
Not the weather for it.
No. By the time I got home, I was actually, you know, people are like, oh my God, I'm soaked through to my underwear. I was literally soaked through to my underwear. It was not great, but a lovely time was had nonetheless.
Yeah, good on you.
It's fine. Welcome. Welcome along, guys. I know we said this last week. I can't believe it's episode 18 already.
Episode 18. Wild.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, we're nearly there.
We are nearly there. If you are a first-time listener, my name is Heather. I have never seen the OC.
And my name is Jane and I have seen the OC.
And it's as simple as that, yep. Really. Before we dive into it, I have a weird story I'd like to share with you.
Do tell.
So, Friday, it must have been Friday, I got an Instagram message to my personal Instagram. It was a message from a boy that I... used to work with, who I kind of know, like pals with, and he messaged Friday 1:34. Hiya, hope you're doing all right, pal. I don't know if you know, but I'm in Melbourne at the moment. I did actually know that because, you know, he has the internet and we follow each other. But anyway, this girl I know just cornered me to tell me about this podcast she's been listening to.
No way.
Where one girl's watched the OC and the other hasn't. I let her say the one called Heather's my favourite before I let on that I knew who she was talking about. The girl's actually a Campbell too. Anyway, thought you'd like to know.
No way.
What a small fucking world.
That's
how
mad.
How insane is that?
That is so mad.
Well, literally the other side of the world.
There we go.
It's literally, and also, I can't believe I'm someone's favourite. That's hilarious.
Oh, of course you're someone's favourite. She's just not got to season 3 yet. It's okay. jokes.
God, cut me deep. Jeez. Couldn't even let me have that moment, could you? Not even a minute. Sure. Bring me back down to earth, Jane.
I'm joking, sure. Pal. I can definitely see why you'd be the favourite.
I don't even think I'm my favourite.
Oh, Heather.
But Ruby Campbell, a fellow Campbell, thank you so much.
The stars are aligning.
I know. You've literally, like, not even made my day, not even made my weekend. Let's say, like, a week. You've made my week.
Aww.
So thanks. Thanks for reaching out to my pal, Quinny. I normally call Peter. I don't know why I call him Quinny, but, like, my pal's called him Quinny. But, yeah, my pal Peter. So thanks for
what a small world.
Honestly, the other side of the world blows my mind. Anyway, that was a lot of excitement to start us off.
Yeah, it was. Let's go to the other side of the world.
America.
Yeah.
Got a lot to catch up on. They squeezed so much into this last time.
Yeah.
Busy.
Yeah, because it starts with, we've got the weird Matt and Marissa storyline. So we had some flashbacks to that. That they're quite pally, and Matt seems to be helping Marissa out with all the law stuff.
Then it goes to Volchek, and like I'd completely forgotten about this actually, that when Ryan and Marissa were going out, she gave him her Spenny watch to try and get him to back off.
It was
off.
In the Cartier or something, wasn't it? Yeah.
Then we've also got the Brown storyline, which we've not seen or heard of in a little while. Yep. And a reminder that Seth chickened out of his interview and that's to be rescheduled.
Mm-hmm. And we've got the Matt and Maya storyline as well.
Mm-hmm. And a subtle reminder that Matt loves the strippers, least we forget.
Yeah.
And that also that Sandy's morals are a bit loosey-goosey at the moment. Like,
yeah,
he's no longer the beacon of hope and trust and light.
Yeah. And then how did you feel when we had Jess and Trey, return of the slavers?
I honestly thought, like, I don't even think that I thought, I hoped, I prayed that we had seen the back of this girl, and we haven't.
She is the worst.
Oh my god, she's the absolute worst.
This is a weird episode.
this has gone a bit wild. Like, I feel like something. See, if you watched this at the time and you were in America at the time and you were aware of like ratings and like that sort of stuff, can you let us know what the hell was going on at the time? Because it feels like something has dramatically changed.
Yeah. Maybe we're going to have to wait so long for the other podcast to get there and tell us.
I've still not listened. But yeah, it's just, it's all over the shop. It's all over the bloody shop.
But yeah, just a reminder as well that Ryan and Marissa have both decided that they're moving on.
Mm-hmm. And that Sadie's kicking about.
Sadie's kicking about.
The new one, yep. The new interest.
New love interest. And Marissa and Volchuk as well. We've got a feeling that something's going to go down there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So over to the Coens' living room, where Ryan and Seth are playing computer games, and then the shot kind of pulls out a bit and you see that Summer is also sitting there. I'm like, man, I remember that as a teenager, having to watch boys play computer games, and there's literally nothing worse.
Play computer games or play guitar.
Ugh. Oh, yeah. God. See, now as an adult, I would just be like, no, we're not doing this.
This is rude.
But Summer brings up the fact that she thinks Seth should be prepping for his Brown interview the next day. And this is where he's like, no, I've got a new approach. Just don't think about it, which is actually quite a good idea.
Yeah. And then we've got Sadie comes in with some snacks for
Imagine
them.
Imagine making yourself that at home in someone's house that early on.
Yeah. It's a weird dynamic as well, isn't it? That they've gone, it's as if Sadie has just slotted into Marissa's
old spot, right?
Place, yeah.
Do you know, like, Ali and I have been going out for a decade. And okay, a lot of that time I was in London. But I was over at their house. It must have been at Christmas because that's the only time I could have been over, right? Yeah, it must have been Christmas.
Yeah.
I just went in and I was like, I'll make tea. Does anybody want one? And it was only when I was making a cup of tea, I was like, this is the first time I've made a cup of tea in Isabel's house.
Yeah.
It's insane. And I was like, and like, you know, when you're looking about and you like don't know where the cups are. Like,
don't know where anything is.
And I was trying, like in my head, I was like, oh my God, this is a moment. This is a moment. I'm making a cup of tea in my in-law's house. Oh my God. Aww. Couldn't find anything. And eventually I had to be like, Ali, where the hell does your mum keep her sugar? Like, help me out here. So yeah, I can't believe that they haven't even kissed yet. And already she's like taking her shoes off and like bringing over some slippers.
They're all playing computer games and Sadie wants to play Seth, doesn't she?
Yep.
And he's just like, no, I'm the best. You'll be shit at this. Classic Seth. but then this gives a sort of little opportunity for Ryan and Summer to go and leave and have a little chat about Marissa.
Yeah. I quite like this little tete-a-tete.
Yeah.
She takes him aside in the kitchen and is like, look, there's no weirdness from me. Like, I completely get that you guys have broken up and you weren't meant to be and it's fine. Like, this is, she is still my best friend, but there's no beef between us. We're all good.
Yeah. And then she says this weird thing, doesn't she? That how Sadie is the opposite of Marissa. And I was like, well, I don't think she's quite the...
It's not the opposite,
but she's like, yeah, that's good. And I think Ryan's just a bit thrown by that as well. But they go back into the living room where Sadie is totally humping Seth at video games.
Yes!
And Summer just sort of whispers under her voice, doesn't she, that she's under her breath, that she's the anti-coop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a wee bit awkward. And then there's this, I think... They make a reference that to Sadie being Ryan's new girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Seth. It's obviously just, it's Seth that makes that moment so awkward. And it's like, your girlfriend. Your friend. And then she's like, friend? Friend? right? It's so awkward. But the awkwardness is passed by the fact the doorbell goes. And Ryan goes to open the door, and I have just written, shit, son, it's Jess Slavers, dressed like a Barbie doll. It's very confusing.
What the fuck is she reading?
What is her hair doing?
It's huge.
It's huge, like, Dolly Parton-esque curls. It's so blonde, and she's wearing, like, this pink
polo neck. So much pink.
She literally looks... So the last time we saw her, she was doing very, like... low-key Avril vibes, like denim skirt, like little what the silver, like a silver stud black leather belt, like cons, like a black vest top. That was her vibe. Like, she probably had pink streaks in her hair, let's face it. It was a moment.
She had a sort of Alex vibe, didn't she?
Very Alex vibes. And now she's come back looking like a Barbie doll,
a Stepford Wife or something. Yeah, it's a bit weird, isn't it? She's not even like channeling Taylor, or
no,
it's not even quite preppy. It's just, yeah, I don't know. But it's a strange look. But we find out that she has been living with Trey in Vegas for the past few months, but she is here to deliver a belated birthday present to Ryan from Trey. And then Sadie comes out and sort of interrupts it, doesn't she? And then she leaves, and Sadie's like,
who is that?
And he's like, oh, no one. And then we've got Sadie goes back to the living room, and Ryan's just sort of looking at the present before the cut to the credits.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. What does she not say something as well that's like, do you not want to know how he is? And very much implies, like, I have loads I can tell you about your estranged brother, but like, I'm away from that, and you know where to find me if you want to talk about it. Like, it feels like very set up from her. I thought, like, is this a plan? I don't know. I just thought it was really weird.
Yeah,
especially like, we can't forget the last time we saw her, she was like trying to do a drug deal, right? She like shot into the ceiling.
That's where all the guns and
yeah
absolutely nuts. Yeah, so after the opening credits, we come back to Ryan, and he is opening his gift, which is a toy car. Like one of the proper
old school ones.
Tiny little ones, yeah.
I remember my brother having them when I was wee. And then obviously Seth comes in, open door policy, strolls on in. Ryan's quite touchy about the car, isn't he? He's like, look, it's an inside story. Like, I don't really want to talk about it. Which, with all the shit he's been through with his brother, you're kind of like, fair play, mate. Like, you don't need to.
Yeah, definitely. And then Kirsten comes in, and she's like, oh, I always used to try and get Seth to play with these.
Yeah, I think Kristen's quite good in this episode. She's very much
she totally is
a voice of reason, and she asks the question. She's like, how is Trey, is he okay? Like, kind of implying it's quite natural to want to ask how your brother is.
Yeah, and then Seth sort of reminding Kirsten who Jess is and what's her place is. He's like, oh, she took too many drugs, ended up floating in a pool.
God, remember that. That feels like so long ago.
Yeah, so long ago. But Ryan's like, I don't know. I don't want to know. Trey's out of my life now.
Which is quite a line to draw in the sand, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're really like, Ryan's getting all his family stuff dragged up, isn't he? We had his mum last week.
Oh, yeah. God, that was only last week. Anyway, over at the
Who knows how long it was in the time scale of the OC.
In OC timeland. So over at the trailer, Volchek's doing something weird to Marissa's door. She kind of opens the door and is like, what the hell are you doing? And he's like, oh, I thought you'd be at school. She's like, well, I'm not. What are you doing? Why are you being a weirdo?
She's like picking her lock to return her watch, potentially.
Very weird.
But yeah, so he returns this watch, and she's like, why didn't you sell it? You could have got a lot of money for that. And he just says he's had a change of heart.
Why is she being such a dick to him? Like, I find this really confusing, because we saw them last episode at the beach with her head on his shoulders. He'd given her his jacket, sharing whiskey or whatever out of a hip flask. Like, I don't understand how they've gone from that to her just being a total dick and being like really harsh and cold with him.
Yeah, because then he's like, oh, I'll be at the beach hut later. And she's like, oh, don't count on me being there. And I'm like, who are you kidding, pal? You'll definitely be at that beach hut. You're always there.
She loves it. Anyway, that was just a weird moment that was like, that doesn't make any sense. Anyway, over to school. Seth's coming out of the Brown interview being like, no, you're the man, sir. Clearly implying the interview has gone incredibly well.
It's gone well. They bonded over like anime or something.
Yeah, I'm not big into anime. I don't know what they're talking about.
No, I don't really know much about it.
But one would assume it has gone well.
So Seth sort of goes off, and we see Taylor. And she's obviously buzzing as well. And she's like, oh, we should all celebrate. But Summer's a bit like, we want to do it alone. Our dad's presumably still on the cruise. Mm-hmm. And she's got the house to herself.
Yeah. I love this when Taylor's like, oh, don't worry about it. And then she winks at her. Yes. Summer's just like, what are you doing? She's like, it's a knowing wink. That's clearly what I'm doing. And this is where, like, the implications that there's trouble in the sex life of Seth and Summer. And Taylor's like affronted. She's like, oh my God, you've lost the magic. Like,
the magic. And it's so weird thinking about 17-year-olds like having this sort of chat.
God, imagine having that sort of like knowledge at 17. Like,
yeah.
Jeez. But she kind of warns her that like if Seth, and I really don't like this narrative, that if Seth isn't, you know, sexually appeased by Summer, that his wandering eye will take him other places. And like, I just think, first of all, that's a shy thing to say. It takes two to tango. It's not Summer's responsibility to keep Seth into
the magic life.
Yeah, that's not fair. Anyway, she's very adamant. She's like, we have a very healthy sex life. And then like, kind of like, is like, bye Taylor, and just kind of walks away.
Yeah, she also is like, I'm 5 levels hotter than him.
That is a very, very true point. A very true point. Taylor's just left in the corridor being like, if you ever need a girl talk, I'm here. Like,
yeah. Oh, she's some ghetto. But we've then got Sadie visiting Ryan. Mm-hmm. And Ryan's still sitting, gazing wistfully at the toy car. And he's like, oh, it's a long story with my brother. I don't really want to tell you about it, which is understandable.
Yeah.
But again, she's just like, that's cool, but I'm here if you want to talk. And yeah, I've not really got much else written down about this scene. I think Ryan's just like, not just now, and then she leaves. Is that?
I found it a bit weird though, because she goes quite heavy when she's like, it's okay if you don't want to talk to me, but you know, when you do, I'll listen, and I'll listen like without judgment. Great, a great thing to say, an important thing to say. But then when he doesn't tell her, she gets a bit pissy, and it's like, okay,
off,
bye.
Yeah.
Like, that's not fair.
Yeah. But yeah, so we then cut to Dr. Griffin comes to see Sandy. It is Dr. Griffin, isn't it?
It is. Maya's dad, yes. And Dr. Griffin is also the doctor who's in charge of kind of looking after the hospital stuff that Sandy's trying to get the business from.
That's right.
And this is when he divulges that he/the board don't want Matt involved because there's been a complaint from the board that he's busy boozing and has girls and gambling and they're just not into that.
And they want him off the project. And Sandy's like, well, no, he's worked so hard. But he sort of gives him an ultimatum, doesn't he? It's either Matt's off it or there's no deal.
Which I genuinely thought by this point the deal was like set. Not think there was like any more jeopardy about the fucking deal.
About 3 different episodes about this bloody deal.
Who cares? Just give them, like...
It's a hospital, God, you know?
Like, ugh. Back at the Coens, Seth and Ryan are talking about chatting to Jess, or not chatting to Jess, about Tree. And Seth, I don't know, is... In a way, I'm kind of like, fair play, because he's like, look, don't dwell in the past, call Sadie, move forward, live in the now, like, move forward. Yeah. But then part of me is also like, but it's your brother. Like, it's not...
It's your brother.
It's not as easy as that.
Yeah. So Ryan sort of wants to know if Trey is okay, and if the only way to do that is by going through GS, then you might just need to... Go for it.
Part of me is also like Trey did some awful things, like awful things. He tried to rape Marissa, and then he, you know, almost murdered Ryan.
Almost murdered Ryan. Almost took Julie Cooper's bribe to.
Oh yeah, forgot about that. To say that dob him in. So like, he's not done great things. So part of me is like, well, talking to Jess is quite a reasonable thing, because you would still be curious, and you know, Facebook wasn't around by then. It's not like you can check. Like, so maybe it's I don't know. I feel like they're making it very black and white, and it's anything but black or white.
Yeah, it's really not. Next scene, shock horror. Marissa's at the beach.
Is anyone surprised? Anyone at all?
No. And she's got she's wearing the watch that Vulture gave her back.
It's like she's waiting on him, isn't it?
Yeah, so we've got this. She's picks up her phone and you kind of get a sort of like flashback of her calling Volchuk in the previously and him coming to the beach.
Yeah.
But she doesn't do it. She just patches, doesn't she? She just leaves.
And then this storyline with Matt is getting like pretty gross. It's really grossing me out. Like, I don't like it. We go over to Matt's house and the door goes, and obviously it's Marissa. And she's like, or he says, like, oh, were you just in the neighbourhood? And then she's like, yeah. Well, actually, no. Summer's with Seth and I'm all on my own and I'm going out of my mind. Like, this guy is like a decade, and maybe not even a decade, like 8 years older than her, is definitely like
old enough to know
an
better.
Adult. And she is a child. Like, he is his boss's stepson's ex-girlfriend. Like, that's just heavy pedo vibes. It's heavy pedo vibes.
Yeah, it's really
but he's like, oh, I'm going to LA, but you're welcome to like stay here and like use my house as a crash pad for the weekend. Which part of me is like they've not done anything, like, and they make it clear throughout it they've not done anything, but you're just that's not his place. Like, that's his advice should have been, oh, you should go and see Sandy, like, he'll like
go and see Sandy
family.
Or
like, where's your mum, like, that's not
or
your,
if it's, I mean, it's still a bit weird, but even, well, I'm going to be out of town, so if you want to stay, say to your mum or check with Sandy or whatever that you can stay here, then you're welcome to the house. But
yeah, you're right. The secret just makes it here. Even like creepier. So creepy. And he says like, make yourself at home as well, which is just like, gross.
Yeah, it
still
seems a bit sordid, doesn't it?
Over to Seth and Summer, who wants to watch the whole Blade trilogy. And I love the fact that he was like, well, we have to watch the third one because if we don't, it'll feel bad because it's in the little set. And I am the worst for doing stuff like that. Like, you know, if you're pulling stuff out of a tin, like beans are the best example. Like, I can't leave one behind because I'm worried he will feel like he's not fulfilled his life ambition. Like,
oh my god, you're insane. You're actually insane.
So this really spoke to me, this line. It really spoke to me.
Oh, I didn't even acknowledge it, so but yeah, Summer like wants to forget about the film and go upstairs, and Seth just doesn't really get that she's trying to make a move on him, does she?
Yeah. And then she kind of points it out and is like, look, I'm kissing you in the neck and giving you a compliment. Like, what else do you want from me?
Yeah.
They're just
and
like...
And what is it he said? He's like, normally you just throw me down and do your thing. She's like, okay, but I can adjust.
Oh, yeah. It's just a bit uncomfortable. Like, it's really uncomfortable. They have acted this scene well.
Yeah. And then the moment sort of... gone by then, Summer's like, oh, just forget it, it's too late.
It is almost in these situations, like, as soon as you have to talk about it, you're like, nah, like, this is too awkward.
Moment's gone.
Yeah. So Ryan's going to meet Sadie. He is in the car. He phones Sadie and is like, I'll be over in 20 minutes. But obviously he is at Jess's house and that's why he's not going to be there for 20 minutes.
What does he hope to achieve in 20 minutes by the time he drives there, you know?
I have no idea. Anyway. I have no idea. And why would you put a time limit on that if you're going to talk about your... Well, anyway. He turns up and she's in a bikini. Sure.
Oh, yeah. In a mansion?
I mean...
What's another huge house?
Maybe if I did have a mansion, I would go swimming late at night. I mean, who knows? The world is your oyster when you have a mansion and a pool. A little midnight swim.
If you were that rich, like, the possibilities would be endless. Who knows what you'd get up to?
But this gets kind of weird and she's like, why don't you stay a while? And Ryan's quite blunt and he's like, look, we were never friends. And then...
Yeah, he basically wants one thing from her, to know how Trey is.
Yeah,
he's
and then in she kind else. Of lures him in by saying, like, Trey's dealing blackjack. And you're and is basically like, he's just trying to keep out of trouble, blah, 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 blah. But she's almost like bribing him to like hang out with her.
Yeah. She is, isn't she? She's sort of feeding them these little bits of information. Oh, yeah, she's just fucking annoying, isn't she?
She is.
But then we get they've got the punch bag. The punch bag.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He's back in the punch bag. And amazing sync from We Are Scientists, one of my favorite, favorites from this era. That first album where the three of them are in the front cover holding the cat. I can't remember what it's called. I loved that album.
I'm sure the tune it's playing is In Action.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Loved it. That whole album from start to finish is glorious.
Oh, that's very ABC vibes.
It's heavy ABC vibes.
I feel ABC features in this podcast, a lot.
I know. Do you know what's made it even worse? So a couple of weeks ago, we were painting our living room and Jane and I were messaging back and forth and I was like,
With Love and Squalor.
That's what it was. Yeah. Oh, sorry for interrupting. No. We were chatting and I was like, oh, we're decorating. And I was like, send me some suggestions. And you were like, there's this amazing RIP ABC Spotify playlist. Which I am now obsessed with.
It's so good, isn't it?
The only thing I listen to when I'm out running. And it's really making me pine for a nightclub in Glasgow called ABC. We talk about it all the time. But it actually burnt down a couple of years ago. So I think that's what's making it even worse. Because I know that even if I could, I can. It's so annoying.
Yeah, but there's some good tunes in this episode, actually. The music was really good in it. So we've got all these flashbacks. Basically of Trey, so it's Ryan taking out his frustration, his anger, and Kirsten walks in on him and she's like, right,
are you okay,
what's going on? And for a change, it's not girl problems it's about Trey, and he's trying to sort of explain about Trey and Jess. Kirsten just sort of says that she loves Marissa because she's family, she's been through a lot, that Ryan got pulled into, and Ryan's talking about how he felt some of it was his fault.
Yeah.
She just basically says that they love Sadie.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
But she also points out as well that Ryan with this whole Jess situation is just trying to save her, like what he was trying to do for Marissa. And he says such really sarky, self-aware comment where he's like, is that what I do? And it's like, yes, that's what you do, Ryan.
Yeah.
It's what, because all of the drama in this bloody series as it is you just interfering with drama that you don't need to be involved in.
Yeah, because Kirsten says just because a girl's not tied to some train tracks doesn't mean that she should be ignored.
Yeah.
So they're basically just because Sadie doesn't have shitloads of baggage doesn't mean that it's not going to work.
I mean, she has baggage enough. Her cousin just died. Come on now. An interesting scene.
Oh, this is awful, this next scene.
It's so we've got Marissa at Matt's house cutting about in jammies, but almost boys jammies, joggies and a t-shirt.
Is she even wearing the joggies? I felt that she just had on an oversized baseball shirt or something. Matt's I might have made this up, but I thought she didn't have anything on the bottom.
I thought she had
as a sort of dress, because
I definitely saw the baseball top, though.
Yeah, it felt like one of those sort of, oh, hey, I'm wearing my boyfriend's oversized shirt.
Yeah.
It always used to be in, I don't know, TV shows, and the women the next would just be wearing a white oversized, it's meant to be a guy's shirt or whatever, as if it's going to swamp her, as if they're going out with someone that's 8 foot.
I do always find that funny as well. I think I could count on one hand how many times Ali wears a white shirt in a year.
Funerals,
right? Weddings, birthdays and funerals, that's literally it. So weird. It's such a trope of wearing your boyfriend's clothes to sleep in.
It definitely had that vibe of, I was like, fucking hell, is Matt going to turn up behind her?
I know but the doorbell goes and it's Sandy,
and he is shook.
He looks so shook.
Class acting as usual from Sandy, but she's like, oh, I'm just staying here. And Sandy's like, this is not on. You should both
not okay.
know better. Why didn't you come to us? We're family. And then she's like, oh, things aren't good with me and Ryan. But Sandy's like, look, get out of here. Go home.
Yeah. And he says the words you don't belong here, which I think is key.
She doesn't.
It's so key. Yeah. And he looks visibly worried. Looks concerned.
As you should do. And I think just because they've been building the Matt stuff up so much as well. Huh?
I'm so frustrated as to where it goes. This is the first storyline in ages. I've been what is happening?
Yeah. But then we cut to Summer, she's in the diner, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Or doing pancakes?
Picking up pancakes. What a glorious piece of alliteration.
I know.
Picking up pancakes.
And Taylor sort of sneaks up on her, doesn't she? Like, I actually felt like shat myself a bit just watching
it. Honestly, anybody that does that needs a firm talking to. You should not sneak up on people. Don't cover people's eyes without asking permission first. It's not okay. It's not okay. But she's like, oh, are you here for like the post-coital, like getting like both of you are so exhausted from having so much sex that, you know, you draw the short straw to have to go out and get food. First of all, order takeaway. Why are you going out?
Order takeaway. Why are you going out?
But she isn't. She's there. And then Summer just starts like blatantly lying and it's so uncomfortable. Like it's uncomfortable. Yeah. And Taylor very quickly clocks on and is like, you didn't have sex at all.
Yeah, but she's like, your lips aren't chapped. There's no like love bites on your neck and your voice isn't all hoarse from all the screaming. I'm like, what kind of sex are you having, Taylor? You've gone from having no pals to like...
She knows everything.
Being this absolute sex goddess that knows everything. She's probably watching a lot of
I was going to say,
TV.
That girl is watching far too much porn. Yeah. Like, far too much.
But Summer's pancakes are ready and she makes a quick exit while Taylor's like, I can help you. Wild.
Oh god. Do you know the thing is though, like that conversation, this conversation of hitting a dry spot and like going to your friends to be like, this is the situation, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You just would not. Okay, first of all, you've got enough hormones as a teenager that you don't need to have those conversations. But it's just, it seems so, it's such an adult conversation.
Yeah.
That I just don't think you would have at that age. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's not very convincing, is it?
No, not at all.
But then do you think it's sort of playing on Taylor's wanting to be older and
maybe
sort of more knowledgeable than she is, you know?
Maybe. Maybe it's also got something to do with what we were talking about at the start, like they're needing to do something to get the ratings up, get people interesting. And sex sells. So
sex sales, baby.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the reason for this ridiculous storyline.
But we then cut to Ryan and Sadie and they're finishing some painting on the house.
Right. Before we jump in, right? He turns up, she's perfectly fine with him. She's like, oh, grab a paintbrush, you know, help out. We're almost done. He phoned her the night before and was like, I'll be over in 20 minutes and then just didn't turn up.
Just patched it, so it's not even as if he's like, I'm not going to make it tonight. He's just like, oh, I got tied up something.
I wouldn't have opened the door to him. I would have been livid.
But then you're like, did she message him to say
where are you bro
or do they just, who knows? But yeah, he's quite vague, isn't he?
Yeah.
And just says he'll make it up to her by buying her dinner.
Yeah. And he also says the words, I'm all yours. Interesting. Marissa's back at the trailer.
Yeah, she tries to call Summer, doesn't she? But she doesn't answer and that's like it. And then we've got Sandy and Kirsten trying to figure out what the hell is going on with Matt.
I also just don't believe Kirsten would be so chill in this situation.
No. As the female and as a mum, I think she'd
be losing her shit at the thought of a 26-year-old potentially grooming a 16, 17-year-old.
Yeah. Because she's like, Matt doesn't know any better. Yeah. But
and then she says something thing where she's like, he's not that much older than the boys. He's 8 years older than the boys.
Yeah, he's much older than the boys. And then, Seth and Ryan come in, don't they? When they're just like hugging it out.
Yeah.
And Kirsten's basically just said, look, you need to talk to him and give us some advice. And Seth tells him to get a room. And then what is it, Sandy?
Oh my God, this line was so... thing was so weird. Do you know, there's been a couple of conversations between Sandy and Seth before about sex that has been really funny, that has been super cringy, super funny, really like plays that line of like,
yeah, it's landed well though.
Yeah, whereas this just did not land for me at all. What would they said like, oh, you should be thankful for us because people who have affectionate parents end up
better adjusted sexually as adults.
Yeah. And then what does Seth say? Because I didn't even write it down. It grossed me out so much.
Oh, he said, he's like, I know, I mean, get a room. As in my room and do it in front of me. What?
How is that funny? That's gross.
It's not, it's weird. Anyway, yeah. So Ryan then gets a call and it's Jess and she's in trouble. So obviously He has to run off and save her, and I think Kirsten's just like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, I love that she runs out after. He's literally just like, what the fuck? We just talked about this. I thought you weren't going to do this anymore.
And then he's like, oh, I'll call you if we need help.
After this, I'm done. Sure you are. Sure you are.
But yeah, we cut to Summer and Manessa at the bait shop.
Yes.
Yeah, they're obviously, I think Summer's sort of confiding in her about her and Seth's problems that she probably hadn't even thought about until Taylor brought them up.
Yeah. Marissa's quite good here, I thought. She was like, look, maybe you just had an off night. A valid point. A valid point.
I also love like when she's like, oh, me and Ryan never had those problems.
You would at least lie and be like, it happens to everyone.
Yeah. She's like, the more unemotionally involved you are, the more you end up wanting each other.
I don't know if that's true.
No. And then she sees Volchuk,
mm-hmm.
and she gives him like a little look.
She's basically eye-fucking him across the bar.
Yeah.
While seeing the lines that you just said, the more emotionally unavailable you are. I'm like, all right, nothing like him. Some subtle dramatic. So even dramatic irony, like there's nothing subtle about this at all.
No,
and Summer even says like, oh, who are you looking at? And like someone walks in front so she can't see. So over at Jess's house, it turns out she's broken up with her boyfriend and he's now stalking him. He is now stalking her. And I'm like, is he? Like, I don't know. I do not believe anything Jess says. This whole time I was like, there's something, like she is lying.
It's very, it's quite Caitlin and the Twilight guy vibe.
It's exactly like that. I didn't believe anything she was saying. But obviously the stalking boyfriend, Jim, let's just take a moment and say anyone called Jim is not scary.
Yeah, my dad's called Jim, he's not scary.
Oh, I've seen pictures of your dad like on your Insta and I'm like, of course he's called Jim, like he just looks like a nice guy.
Yeah, my brother's James, my dad's Jim, and my papa is Jimmy. So like I'm wondering, is like James going to become Jim when he's like
when he gets to a certain age?
Progression. Yeah.
Cute.
But yeah, you can't have a scary gym.
No, definitely not. But he turns up and Ryan threatens to kick his ass and then he just leaves. So yeah, Ryan comes back through to Jess and is like, look, he's gone. And then she's just been really pathetic and she's like, oh, like curled up on the sofa looking really scared. And she's like, I was really trying to change. And it's just really weird. And then as he's going to leave, he looks in her bag. First of all, don't look in people's handbags. Rude and intrusive. Yeah. But there's
a picture of Trey, isn't it? There's
a picture of Trey in her handbag. So because there's a picture of Trey in her handbag, he goes back and subsequently stays over. Where are her parents? Right.
God knows.
So weird.
So it's the next morning, isn't it? And Ryan stayed over. And we get the feeling that nothing happened last night. And then Jess gets a call. And who is it?
It's Trey, of course
it is. It's Trey. Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, oh, I'm sitting with Ryan. But Ryan's just like, no.
Yeah.
Don't want to chat.
It's so awkward. Why would you put Ryan in that position?
Position. You know you. But she hangs up. And yeah, she's like, oh, Trey wants me to like go back and stay with them. And Ryan's like, well, what's the deal? I thought you were moving on.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I'm trying. It's just so difficult. And I think Ryan's just a bit like, right, fuck this. I can't like be your white knight. I can't babysit you anymore. And he's like, you just need to call some of your pals from like school or whatever to bail you out.
I just like, I've written it down here. I'm like, is this a ploy? I just feel like there was something.
Yeah, there's just
like when you think about how clever and calculated she was before, like I just don't believe this. Like,
she's no daft.
Yeah, but like they're making her out to be like this wee pathetic girl that can't look after herself, and I just didn't find it very believable.
It's not believable. Nah, it really isn't. But we then cut to, let's like skim by this pretty quickly as well. We've got Sandy and Seth talking about sex again.
Yeah.
And he's sort of wondering if, Seth's wondering if Sandy and Kirsten ever had
similar
problems. What the fuck?
First of all, you would never ask your parents like about your sex life at 17. And then you would never ask your parents about their sex life. That's disgusting. Parents don't have sex. I turned up.
Yeah, they don't have sex.
The stork dropped me off. That's what happened.
And you definitely don't say, oh, your ma was a firecracker.
What did he say? He was like, when whatever it was, when something's a rocking, don't come and knock.
Oh, the mail, when the mail truck's rocking, don't come a knocking.
See, if my mum or dad told me that, I would literally vomit in their mouth. Like, not okay.
Yeah. And then you've got this sort of awky scene as well when Kirsten's like, Ryan didn't sleep here last night. Cue again, Sadie just coming in with some bagels.
How did she get in?
Oh, fuck knows.
She just strolls in.
But yeah, then Kirsten's trying to lie for Ryan, isn't she? And it's just, she's shit at it, and it's just really, really awkward.
Yeah. And then Sadie and Trey, like, Kirsten and Sandy scuttle off to be like, sorry, that was really awkward. Aww, you guys can deal with it. And Sadie can kind of see what's happening with Jess and Ryan, and she's like, I get it. Like, I see what's happening. He just has some really intense issues, and like, I don't know if I can be fucked with that, basically.
Yes. Fair enough.
Yeah. But Seth says that she should cut him some slack, and she asks him to not tell Ryan that they'd had this conversation.
Yeah, I think he's a bit like, oh, he's had this like 2-year long drama fest with Marissa, and you're like really normal. Or no, he references Lindsay, doesn't he?
Oh my God, yes.
The one time he tried to date someone normal, she turned out to be my dead grandfather's illegitimate daughter. So you know how that goes. And obviously Sadie doesn't know any of this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that would be the point. I would be like, this is too much.
Yeah, this is too much. But yeah, they decide to try and keep their chat a secret.
Yeah.
And then we've got cutting to Taylor coming to visit Summer.
Yes, and she's inviting
this another Taylor scheme.
Yes, she's inviting her to some prom planning, and that's it. She's inviting her to plan the prom. Cool.
The prom.
Okay, over onto the juicy stuff. Sandy and Matt are kind of arguing. It's heated, and obviously Marissa comes up. Because they're talking about like the allegations that the board have made that like this is proving problematic, and then he throws the punch with Marissa to be like, and you've got 17-year-olds, like, don't be throwing PG parties with 17-year-olds. And it's just like, if I was Matt, surely at that point you'd be like, fuck, I've totally misjudged this situation.
Yeah, this is a total judgment.
I'm so sorry, that is not what I intended, blah 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 blah. But instead, he says, this is a witch hunt.
He takes completely no responsibility for his actions, which makes you think, is he just being immature and a bit of a dick? Or does he genuinely not think that there's anything wrong?
And it makes you also wonder, due to the outcome of this situation, do the writers not realise that this isn't okay?
Yeah.
Like, that's what's freaking me out, is like... anyway, we'll get to it when we get to it, but like, it really is not okay. But yeah, he's like, you have to stop them, please. They're it's very like him. It's very Trumpy. It's a witch hunt. Yeah. You need to stop it. It's so unfair. God, remember Trump? Remember when he was president? Yeah. It's so weird.
I'd rather not. Yeah, what about a few years? so we then find out we're at the school and Taylor has tricked both Summer and Seth into coming to school on a Sunday.
Yeah. Can you just rent out classrooms over the weekend?
Oh, they go to that school whenever they feel like it.
So weird. But she wants them to talk because you guys are like family and refers to them as Sethummer.
Sethummer? Yeah, that doesn't quite roll off the tongue, does it?
No. And then she... She goes down this road where she's like, I'm not a licensed therapist, but my dad was. This was
she
funny.
She knows what to do.
Yeah.
She's like, touch each other and gaze into each other's eyes, and then they don't feel anything, and Taylor's like, oh God, this is bad.
Yeah. And then the scene cuts really abruptly with her saying, well, I also do breakup counselling. Like, it is funny. This scene is funny. Especially because it's like, oh, you can touch each other anywhere that isn't the genitals or the breast. And like, he just like smooshes his hand into her face. It is funny.
I do like the Taylor, Seth and Summer.
It is funny. Do you know, it's they do a little bit of like slapsticky, over-dramatic lols in the OC from time to time. And it's got that kind of vibe about it. Like, it is funny.
Yeah, so let me cut to, we've got Ryan and Sadie, and Ryan gets a call, and it's Jess's pal. So yes. there's a bit of a rager going on at Jess's house, isn't there?
Yes.
And apparently Jim's coming to set about them.
Yes. And Jess has locked herself in the pool house. She's drunk, and you're the only person she's going to talk to.
I absolutely hate this shit so much.
And then obviously he's like, okay, I'll be right there.
And Sadie's just like, why? Yes, Sadie, why? But she knows it's because you're forgetting. You don't realise that Sadie doesn't know any of the tree shit.
No.
So she must just be like, what the fuck? Is this another ex-girlfriend? Yeah. Or like, what's the deal? Sadie's just like, look, deal with whatever you're going through and let me know when it's over. Yeah. And he's just like, yeah, and goes.
Yes. Over to Marissa at the bait shop. Wojciech's like, I'm right here. I wasn't looking for you.
Like, I wasn't looking for you. You pure were.
You definitely were. We've all been there. We've all done that when like you turned up. If you turn up at someone's work, like obviously as a teenager, not now, I'm not a psychopath, but like you turn up at someone's work, like where they, when you fancy them and you're like, oh my God, I didn't know you worked here. It's like, yeah, you did. Come on then.
Yeah. I used to like actively stalk my first boyfriend. He worked in, do you ever remember the shop D2?
Oh my God. Yes, I do.
Yeah, so it was one of them in Cumbernauld, and I really fancied the guy that worked there. But it paid off. Someone in my, like, one of my pals started working there and set us up, and we went out for like 4 years. So
all's well that ends well with a good stock.
Yes.
To be fair, there was a boy that I was so in love with, and he worked at ABC, obviously, just bringing it up again, but like, you know how that way where like the more I think about it, the more I'm like, oh my God, I must have been such a like drunk twat trying to like make conversation half cut over a bar while he's obviously completely sober, just
trying
like,
to work sober.
Leave me alone. Let's just repress that trauma. Let's move on.
Yeah. But Marissa's at the, she's obviously gone to the bait shop to look for him, but Wojciech's like, yeah, I know you're lonely and I can help.
I bet you can. Okay, let's get to this party.
So Ryan trying to talk to Jess, and she's, oh, this is awful. She's totally like freaking out. She's like, I just want to be with you and you know how to take care of me. And then she's just starts being all creepy and like kissing his neck and stuff.
Yeah, it's quite intense. Again, like, see when she was kissing his neck, I was expecting her to like look to camera or do something to give us an inclination that she's completely in control of this situation and she knows what she's doing. It is all just a plan. But I was like, oh no, this might actually be real.
Genuine.
Like, she is just like falling apart. But they're obviously interrupted by the door, and big scary Jim comes through the door.
Yeah, Ryan's just like, what's your problem?
This is so weird as well. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
He says, Jim directs it to her and he's like, oh, are you moving on already? And Ryan says, if you want to settle this with someone, settle it with me. Why the fuck would he settle it with you, Ryan? He wants to settle it with his ex-girlfriend because you're a stranger and he doesn't give a shiny fuck about you. It's so
weird. Ryan loves fighting.
Oh, I guess. And he has been working out in that punch bag, so.
Yeah.
But they go outside.
Jim's like, what's going on? And Ryan's like, oh, Jess is just a friend of my brother's. And then Jim punches Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he? And they have a bit of a fight.
Yeah. Ending up with Ryan on top of him on the floor. Yeah.
Ryan doesn't punch him though, does he? He's just like,
I don't really
tells
know.
Him to stay away.
I think I was just writing. Punches him. I was writing stuff. I wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah.
But he says like, you've got to stay away from this girl. And then Jim quite rightly is like, it's none of your business.
Who the fuck are you?
Like, it is none of your business. And that's almost like an epiphany for Ryan. Because he just gets up and walks away.
There it is, and just goes.
But Jess follows him out the house, obviously, and he says like, if you're smart, you'll stay away from him and you'll stay away from my brother. You need to stop dating guys like him and I need to stop dating girls like you. And it is such a moment where you're like, yes, finally, a breakthrough, I think is what it's called.
So he's like, look after yourself, and then just leaves. So then we've got, this is taking the slapstick to new levels, isn't it?
It really is.
We've got Taylor visiting Seth. and she's got the cure. She is going to teach him some Kama Sutra.
Raunchy sex, I believe is how she describes it.
Raunchy sex.
And like, he's like, where did you get this from? And she says something about, it's basically like the dean taught her. And I was like, oh.
That's right, yeah. So she's like grim. The dean's handbook or something, isn't she? And so she's grim. Like, I know you don't see me as a sexual being, Seth, but sex were a martial art, I would be a black belt. Yeah, a black belt, but it's also like, I don't know, is it not essentially she's been shagging the dean? Like, she's been like sexually assaulted by a man like 3 times her age. So it's
at least
like
we forget, yeah.
Child rape, yeah. Like fucking hell.
That is so again, dark. Like, see, the more you so think dark. About it, that is so dark.
Yeah, it's, again, I guess with the writing, it is, it's like, oh, it's a little light touch of like child rape, haha, got this from the dean, like what the fuck.
Yeah, but like this comment, this conversation and the Matt storyline does just make you be like, I want to set them down and be like, do you think it's okay for a, like whatever age the dean is meant to be sleeping with a 16-year-old, because like I just don't think that's okay.
It's really not. But yeah, so she's brings out her Kama Sutra book and she's trying to go over some positions with him. Fucking hell.
Yep.
So then we've got Sandy talking with Dr. Griffin and he finally realizes what is going on.
Yeah, it's all about Maya. It's personal, yeah. It's not professional. And then the doctor kind of cracks, doesn't he? He's like, yeah, she cried for days. Yeah. I'm just a father looking out for his daughter. And also being horrifically unprofessional in the same breath.
Yeah, it's all pretty fucked, isn't it?
No, okay.
But he says that Sandy's got to choose and it's the hospital or Matt.
Yep. Over to Summer's room. She's on the phone to Marissa. Seth's coming over and wants to talk. But she very much thinks that he's going to dump her. So she cancels on Marissa to get dumped.
You can imagine that though, you know, if she had hung out with Marissa, like, if she had that hanging over her, she'd just probably just like, right, I need to get this sorted before I can actually focus on doing anything else.
Yeah.
But Marissa totally understands. And then we've got Sandy comes home and he's sort of explaining the situation with Kirsten when he gets a phone call from Matt and he just patches it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Must be still thinking about his decision, or maybe he's already decided he's not going to choose Matt.
Yeah. Deal with that tomorrow. I do that quite a lot. I'm like, that's a future Heather's problem. I don't want to do that right now.
Yep.
I find this really funny though, because Kirsten, when the phone goes, she's like, oh, don't worry, you pick that up. I'm going to go and lock up the house. Are you?
What the hell?
Ryan literally sleeps with like his doors open. Like,
people come and go all the time.
Doesn't make any sense.
But yeah, she goes to do so and she finds Ryan and she's surprised to see him there. And he's like, I've learnt my lesson, but it's maybe too late for me and Sadie because of it. And Kirsten's just like, it's never too late.
Yeah, you just have to talk to her. Right, this next scene is kind of weird. So Seth turns up to Summer's house and she's like, let me, Princess Sparkle's here as emotional support, you know, for what's about to happen. And he's like, you probably want to put her away for a bit. What's about to go down here? I've recently been skilled in tantric sex, lol. And then Summer gets really annoyed because it's Taylor that's been showing him and talking through it, and like he starts talking about the wheelbarrow, and then she's like, I'll wheelbarrow you, and she goes to like hit him and he grabs her wrist.
Here we go again.
And then she goes to hit him again and he grabs her other wrist, and then that's what leads to them having some smashing great sex,
tantric sex.
Yeah. And I'm like, do you know what, I'm all for a bit of passion, but like, don't hit your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Unless it's consensual.
Don't go to your mutual pal for sex positions.
Yeah, it's so...
Who at one point was like...
Trying to get with him.
Split you up to get with you.
Right? It's so weird. I feel like there's just no real thought or depth into any of the characters, any of their conversations. Like, it's literally like they're just trying to be like, let's make it as like exciting as possible without actually thinking it through.
Other than the core four, all the other relationships are a bit tenuous, aren't they?
Yeah, just wishy-washy.
Yeah. But we've got Ryan going to Sadie's house and he's got the toy car and he just sort of puts it down and tells her the backstory about how he and Trey used to play with them, and especially to block out their mum going on like airbenders.
Yeah, so he's letting her in. And they letting her in a bit.
Yeah. Trey always said that he would save up his money and buy one of those cars. But obviously that didn't happen. Instead, he stole one, and that sort of started the chain of events to get him to where he is now.
Started the whole series.
Yep. And now he's in Bithycoans, and Trey's in Vegas, and they don't talk anymore.
Yeah.
Does he talk? Does he tell? He doesn't tell her about
Marissa stuff. Marissa.
No. No.
One thing at a time.
One thing at a time,
eh? But he's quite open, and he's like, I'm not used to unloading on people like this. This did make me think, though, because they then go on and kiss.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like a very happy first kiss, or a very excited first kiss, or a very passionate first kiss. And it's the same, like, there was a couple of kisses with Marissa where, like, she just doesn't look very happy. Like, she looks really miserable, like she's about to burst into tears. You're just like, I just want somebody to kiss Ryan that actually, like, looks happy about it.
Yeah.
Is that so much to ask?
It's not so much to ask. He's a really good looking guy.
Handsome guy, good guy, you know. Okay, he's a bit punchy sometimes.
No, I think he's really come into himself in this season. And other than this episode annoyed me a bit because I felt like he was back to his own ways. Like,
yeah,
old ways, trying to be the White Knight. But yeah, he's had a pretty good season, so.
Yeah, weird.
We just want him to get a nice, passionate, happy kiss.
Precisely.
Yeah, but Sadie's just basically saying, oh, I'm a really good listener and you just need to let me do it. And then, yeah, they have their kiss and that's it, isn't it?
Yep.
They then go back to Summer and Seth, who have just had really good angry sex and continue to do so.
Yep. With the words, we should fight every day.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, I just, again, I feel like it's 17 years old. Just so unrealistic.
Yeah, they're having the problems of like people in their late 30s or something, aren't right? they? Like,
or like, yeah, it's just so, yeah, I just don't find it very. Plus, also, 17, you're like, you've got hormones falling out your eyeballs. Like, you don't need any of this.
Yeah, you really don't.
So weird. Anyway, Ryan and Sadie are getting to two. And then after, you know, some hot and steamy moments with them, we cut to Marissa, who's getting home. She stomps past Volchek, who's sitting outside waiting for her like a weirdo. But she leaves the door open, which is a clear invitation to come and get it.
Yes. And this is when, I don't know if you noticed, but like throughout the episode, they kept playing... So it was a cover of the Bright Eyes tune.
Right.
Lover I Don't Have to Love, because you had the like...
I noticed the repetition of it. Yeah.
Yeah, all the way through. And then it's not until like Marissa and Volchek start getting on that they hit in with the lyrics. And I was like, yes, love that tune.
Very steamy. Very steamy.
Yeah.
They clearly don't need no Karma Sutra. Like, they know what they're doing.
Nah.
It's not, I think as well, when you compare it to the other two, like... Sadie and Ryan just look so sad. It's dark with like lots of blue lighting. Like Seth and Summer need to have a fight to get on down to it.
Yeah.
And then like they're just like straight to it. Like,
yeah. And I think it's well, it sort of goes back to what Marissa said earlier to Summer, that people that aren't, she believes that if they're not emotionally attached, then they'd have like better horror sex. So maybe that's how she sees her and Volchek.
Maybe. Possible.
Yeah.
And that's it. Cannot wait to
see
the fallout of Volchek and Marissa. Like, actually can't wait. Like, really can't wait. Also, cannot believe they're letting it hang with Dr. Roberts and Julie, whether he does propose on the cruise or not.
Like,
I thought at some point that would come up in this episode, but it didn't.
Yeah. So hopefully next week.
Hopefully next week. I really hope that Sandy tells Matt to get the fuck, you creepy pedophile. Summer and Seth are clearly having a lovely time. More lols with Taylor, please. That's what I would like.
More lols with Taylor. Right, so that Seth had his Brown interview, so it has to be...
It has to be soon, right?
We've got to be finding out soon.
We must be having, like, prom and stuff too, because Taylor was talking about prom, so that must be coming up.
Yeah, I'm just having a wee look. Oh, I'm looking at... Right, okay. just by looking at the episode names for the next few, I'm remembering what actually happens here.
Great.
So yeah, we're in for a good ride for the next last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 episodes left, Heather.
Seven episodes left. Let us know what you'd like us to do for the last episode, by the way. We were talking about this earlier. We did a live episode for the end of season 2, which was great. We had loads of people there. It was lovely. You were there as a guest, weren't you?
Yeah. So guys, maybe
If you come as a guest,
find yourself, if you want to be the presenter in season 4 and put me out of a job. No, I'd very much like to stay for season 4.
But yeah, it was lovely. If you've not listened to it, go back and listen, because it was a really fun episode.
It was so fun. It felt like such a proper night out, because again, it was in I bought this like amazing dress, not for that, but I was basically not going anywhere else. So I was like, and I'm going to wear this tonight. Still not had a chance to wear it out. Aww. So,
well, that's what we were saying, because we were like, oh, maybe we could try and figure out what's like something to do IRL. And then it was like, oh, COVID's still so up in the air.
Maybe season 4 finale.
Maybe.
Because it won't actually be that. My brother was asking me this today. He was like, how many seasons are there? How many episodes? And I was like, probably the end of the year or something.
Yeah, I think it's about October.
At the end of season 4.
Yeah, end of October. So yeah, if you would be interested in a live episode, slide on into our DMs and let us know.
Yeah, give us some ideas.
Yeah. We'll make it a
fish.
Let
us know what the people want.
Yeah. But we are just humbly your podcast servants, and we will do as you tell us. That was weird. That was a weird line to go with. But yeah. Here we are.
Podcast servants.
I've said it now, Jane. Can't take it back.
Love it.
Listener of the week time.
Yeah, okay. Listener of the week.
I have some side shout outs, not listener of the week, but some side shout outs to Tom and Claire and everybody, of which there were a lot, who got in touch with some police info, not only from America, but from across the world, about like whether you need your ID,
we'd asked about that.
And also Sandy getting Dawn out of jail and how that would work.
Oh yeah,
so
cool.
Thanks.
Oh.
Thanks for that, guys. It was illuminating. Listener of the week is going out to another secret listener.
Ooh.
We've had another one. Another one's come out the woodwork. We see you. We see our listener figures. We see the people get in touch. And I'm like, who are all these people? Who are all these secret listeners? But we've got another one. Her name is Rosie Newman.
Oh, hey, Rosie.
Hi. I've been a secret listener for a little while now. Oh, have you? Huh? Oh. Creeping out. I discovered your podcast in January on Spotify when searching for the OC mixtapes, and I'm so glad I did. I'm a big fan of the OC and absolutely love your commentary on what has aged well and what definitely hasn't. I'm finally up to date now, which is very exciting. Thank you, Heather, Kerry and Jane, and big up the teachers for keeping me company on my commute over the past few months.
Oh, cute.
So cute. Another teacher, hey?
Yeah, there's plenty of us.
So thanks, Rosie, for getting in touch. Really appreciate it. Another secret listener. I bet you because we've mentioned secret listeners.
I know, they're all coming out of the woodwork, aren't they?
It's very exciting.
You love to see it.
If you'd like to get in touch, you can do so at NeverSeenTheOC on Twitter and Instagram, although we don't use Twitter very much. So just Instagram.
Just Insta.
Slide into the DMs. You know we love it.
We do.
Sweet. Well, on to next week.
Yes, on to next week. Yep. Bye.
We both just looked at each other like,
Is that it?
Then what do we do? Okay, we say bye. That's what we do.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.